Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 72 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. In entertainment talk, we've got some brief topics in streaming news as well as gaming, and then we'll jump over to tech where we've got some space news with the first launch for the Space Force, and then a lot of news in tech and hacking. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 72 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And this episode, somewhere in the last week since the last episode to this episode, we have eclipsed our 1 year anniversary as the Nerd Cantina Show here.
Insert crowd cheering noise sound effect.
Yeah, yeah. You'd think we'd figure out how to do that within a year, but definitely not a priority of ours.
It's been a fun year, though. I will say that. Like, I've had a lot of fun doing the show. Definitely the most I've ever talked to my brother in a year.
Yeah, at a very minimum, it's bolstered our sibling relationship here.
You know, but yeah, it's been really fun. We've gotten some really great interviews and gotten to talk to people that you'd asked me 2 years ago, I never would have thought we'd have a networking relationship with, and some really good intellectual conversation. So just based on that alone, I'm considering all this last year a huge, in the win column.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of what we've done. Specifically, you talk about the different Cantina conversations. Hopefully we could build upon those even more going into the next year, getting just some more interesting topics and things of just random conversations that we're having with individuals. And then, the community over at thenerdcantina.com/community, the Facebook group, and the fact that several of those people I talk to way more than my traditional friends and the people that...
Yeah,
that
I don't even know who any of these people are.
And I don't know who these people are, but I have more conversations with more meaning and some people that we've met through the podcast that have become genuine friends. Definitely a fan of the community we've established. Probably the biggest change over the last year for me.
And from the feedback in the community, I think a lot of people are appreciative of the fact that we're able to keep people updated on a lot of, the various nerd subjects, and not just in the typical entertainment genre, what's going on at Marvel, DC, Batsuit argument stuff, that we do bring a lot of the AI talk, a lot of the, SpaceX, things like that. People want to know that stuff, but they're, you get busy in your day and you don't seek it out as much as you'd like to. So for us to put it all in one location for everybody and just put it in layman's terms, I think I've gotten from the feedback, a lot of people are appreciative of that. And that's kind of like our goal, is we want to bring as much as this information to you as you can and start conversations between our fellow nerd community.
So we'll see where, I guess now this year two is going to take the podcast. We're not stopping here yet. So.
No, and we have aspirations. We'll see how life lets us tackle those aspirations. Plug the Patreon page, insert there.
I was about to say the same thing. I was just saying, this is still a hobby of ours. We appreciate any support by whatever means that is. If you can Patreon, great. If you can't monetarily support, just keep sharing it. Keep making sure that you have it set to download and subscribe and share it to anybody else you might think will find this interesting.
Yeah, and click that merchandise tab on the site, and why don't you scoop up one of them Cantina shirts and rock it around your hometown while we're all self-isolating.
We're at home in your Zoom calls.
Yeah. One of my goals this year was to try to get a booth at a couple of the small local conventions and do some promotion, and yeah, we'll see if those things ever come back, man. Jeez.
I've been glad that we've been doing this podcast on Zoom for a year now, and I apparently it was good training for this COVID stuff, because everything is going through Zoom now. All of life is being done through Zoom.
My kids, daughter's got preschool classes on Zoom and dance. Layla just had a dance class on Zoom on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I knew all the settings. I could get that sound out, right? I was able to mute. I was able to do the whole thing.
Yeah, we've definitely transitioned to Zoom meetings for my work. My kids are doing Zoom through school. And then my daughter is way too social. That's the biggest thing that's affected her. She's got no problem not going to school. My kids were half homeschooled already. She just is so desperate for her friends that we did like a paint party where she had all of her friends doing like painting together on a Zoom call. The social interaction has been lost, but Zoom's helped. So us having this here and having a pro account to be able to set all that up works.
Yeah, so when one of my friends shared a video of like all the cops hitting the streets and doing dances in the streets to entertain everyone locked in their house, and they all got out of these cop cars and started dancing to Baby Shark. I was like, are they stupid? Like, I'd just start shooting those motherfuckers from my window. And everyone's like, why would you shoot the cops? They're just trying to do something nice. I was like, do you realize how many parents have been locked in their house with their kids for 2 weeks? Like, they need to hear Baby Shark one more fucking time? You kidding me?
You got to think all those, like, introverted cops are just telling these guys to stop this. Stop setting expectations. I'm going to dance and put on show for people.
I have CPD friends that are just like, sit your ass back in that car. Like, my CPD friends are not getting out of the squad car in Inglewood to do the Dougie. Let's put it like that. Jesus. I mean, we're all going to go mad at some point here. Like, we're going to start hitting like crazy YouTube trend status. Like, people were eating Tide Pods when they had full access to society. Okay. Like, the TikToks and challenges that are going to start coming from people being locked in their homes for the last month. It's going to get bad. People are going to get hurt and flood the hospitals. It's not going to be COVID that overwhelms the hospitals. It's going to be some, you know, man, I don't even want to let my mind wander on what the next one could be.
I don't know. I'm enjoying self-isolation here. I'm trying to figure out how I could structure my life to live like it's COVID all the time. So we'll see what I can pull off. But all right, let's get started on some actual entertainment news here.
And this one I called it. Ben called it.
Yeah, so first story here is we're just talking about this one specifically. It's a company called Kino Marquee that's doing direct online streaming where you can watch movies directly to streaming. And in this certain one, this is for art house theaters. This is for independent theaters playing independent movies to where you can stream these independent movies that are no longer have the capability to do these releases, or they did like a limited release before all the theaters shut down. And you can watch them, and then you could choose which art house theater you want to support. So you download it, and it gives half the money to the website, to the company Kino Marquee that's putting this together. And then the other half will go to a theater you wish to support. So if there's like a local independent theater that you used to go to, maybe they're being supported by this website, and you can go ahead and still support them and watch these independent movies that the arts desperately still need people to pay tickets for it, and they're not going to survive like Universal and everybody else is going to.
Yeah, I caught wind a while ago that there is a company looking to do a profit sharing motive with new releases. Like, there are a lot of parents that can't bring their kids to the theater that want to see the latest movie. You know, I'm lucky enough to have a girlfriend to stay home with the kids when I go see my premiere movies after the kids go to bed. But some parents, you know, they're ball and chained to their house with multiple kids. So to have a stay-at-home option is greatly needed for many families, but you don't want to see the theaters go under. It's a very kind of touchy subject, as we spoke last week. But yeah, if you're doing a profit sharing motive to where, look, I could still support my local theater, but I also get to have the convenience of watching a brand new movie in my home, I don't see who loses on this.
Yeah, especially in the arts, especially on this side of the house, I think it makes a lot of sense for these independent films that really had such limited releases in the first place. I don't think they're missing out by offering people a $12 to view at home ticket.
I mean, we had somebody in the Cantina group actually pay $20 to watch Bloodshot the other week, so motherfuckers will pay it. They're bored. they'll sit at home and they'll watch the latest dumpster fire movie, you know, if they don't have to get up and get out of their house and do the whole fucking thing.
but as we talk about it, I mean, clearly he didn't listen to the podcast because we very briefly for a minute or two talked about that movie and you just said it was
straight trash.
Complete terrible movie.
I did take partial bad responsibility because I did not write my written article, so I do feel a little guilty for that, so I apologize.
Yeah, so apparently he only reads the articles, and since you couldn't find it within yourself to endure another 30 minutes of that movie by writing about it, he therefore...
You're giving me way too much credit on how long it takes me to write these articles.
I'm just going off of how long it takes me to write anything. I definitely can't write, which is why I don't. So... Definitely an interesting thing. I still don't see major movie studios allowing this to happen. I don't see this going.
If they share the profits properly, you know, like they're going to blacklist some movies, you know, so like an Endgame would be blacklisted. A Star Wars would be blacklisted. But, you know, like there's a lot of movies that people know are not going to be successful. That they, you know, they know are not going to be the $100 million weekend movies. You know, so they might not do it opening weekend, but if you have an opening weekend that flops and you only make $15 million on the weekend, they might hit that eject button and put it for home viewing also then that next week to try to see if, well, maybe people just don't want to spend, you know, $17 on a ticket, $10 for popcorn. You know, it's 50, 60 bucks to go see a movie and be comfortable the way you want to do it. If you could pop some microwave popcorn and watch it at home for half the price, people might watch that movie then.
Yeah, so there was I'm trying to remember, it was Access Hollywood or whatever else does, they do like their roundtable discussions on YouTube, and they did one with all the directors before the Oscars this year, and they asked all the directors about it, if they felt that we were close to just having these stream at home with the success of Netflix and stuff. Scorsese was a part of that, who obviously directed The Irishman that was straight to Netflix, or not straight to Netflix, had that limited theatrical release, and then opened up on Netflix. And they asked about that, and all the directors said, no, that's not happening. Like, maybe somewhere way down the road, but the only company that has been authorized to do it is called Red Carpet, redcarpethomecinema.com. And if you want to do it, if you're a baller, what it says on their website, it says no movie will ever release for less than a $500 rental fee. Like, if you go to their FAQs and you look at the cost, they don't even give you the cost. It says that no movie will ever be priced below $500. And that's the only price it gives you on average. It's basically like just Times. For
like the uber rich who have $150,000 movie theater in their basement.
And that's exactly what it is. It says the average movie is between $1,500 and $3,000 to rent for a two-time view over a 36-hour period.
That's ridiculous.
Like, the theater industry is not going to let this happen. And if it is, it's going to be at a significant cost like that.
Someone needs to crunch the numbers on what, like, if they could increase revenue by releasing the films that the movie theater priced themselves out of seeing. Like I said, so a Bloodshot.
But I think that's where Netflix, Amazon Prime and stuff already exists. They just go straight to streaming.
Yeah, well, they don't go straight to streaming, right? They still wait that wait period of 6 months before, you know, the theater release. They go straight to streaming around the same time they come out of the Blu-ray.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is there's plenty of movies that know that their theatrical release, like there's plenty of people developing, writing movies that they know is not going to have that big draw in the theater. So they're pitching them to Amazon Prime, Netflix and stuff as just, hey, those are the Netflix original movies that they never even try to make it to the big production houses and make it to the theater. There's already a pretty big segment of movies now that never have a theatrical release. They don't even try it. I think we're just going to continue to see that. I do see somewhere in the future, the theater system is going to lose out, and they're going to have to come up with alternative delivery methods. And it just comes down to whether the studios themselves are going to respect their 100-plus-year relationship with the theaters, or they're just going to say, well, we've got our own way of delivering. We've got our own streaming services. We've got our own infrastructure to just deliver straight to consumers. Why do we owe you any profit share?
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see where it heads. It all boils down to optimizing profits, right? So wherever that number lies, that's where it's going to go.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see where it goes, especially as long as, you know, we're recording this less than 24 hours.
The movie theaters need the movies more than the movies need the theaters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So we'll see what when Universal, who owns Peacock, is a part of NBC, which is a part of that Peacock streaming service. Are they really going to continue to pay a cut to the theater companies when they're just dumping these things as a pay model into their own premium service?
Yeah, it all depends on how much they can charge on their streaming service, you know, because you don't pay per movie, you pay monthly. And as long as the revenue, you know, and that's the thing is Netflix hides their numbers like crazy, so you don't know the profitability of releasing a movie on a Netflix. Like it's yet to be seen how it goes. You know, on a side note, I did see one of my friends commented the other day. It was like, during this pandemic, I bet y'all wish you'd have went to the drive-through theater more so those motherfuckers didn't die out. We could all be locked in our cars and still self-distancing and still be able to catch a goddamn movie every once in a while.
That's very true.
No, I thought about it. I was like, wow, dude's right. Like, I went to a drive-in a few times over the last 2 weeks. Pack the whole family up and be like, let's get out of the fucking house, lock ourselves in the car, watch a movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yesterday it was announced, you know, the federal recommendation or federal restrictions on for the isolation is extended until April 30th. So we're looking at it a minimum that another month of this, you know, so the movie companies, they're not opening anytime soon. And we're going to see what decisions are going to be made.
I don't know. I mean,
more and more movies are going to have to, you know, it's no longer going to be just Trolls is the one that's going straight. There's going to be a lot of movies that are going to have no choice but to do a home-based release.
Well, I don't even know how long society is going to be able to put up with this quarantine shit, especially with the lack of testing and stuff. We can't all just be assuming we have COVID and locking ourselves in our houses for 2-3 months. Shit's gonna go down eventually.
I don't know.
It's gonna go down eventually. People
with me in Southern California and you in Chicago. Let's see what it looks like 2 weeks from now.
Man, people are in Chicago, but we've been locked in our house since fucking November. Okay, like this, we self isolate the minute it hits below 30 fucking degrees. It hits 75 degrees and sunny outside. You ain't keeping people off their motorcycles. You are not stopping people from going to these parks. Like, it's not gonna fucking happen. We've already been locked in our houses for months. And we only get 3 months, 4 months of nice fucking weather. You think we're going to COVID this motherfucking nice weather away? You crazy, man. You're fucking crazy.
We'll see.
People will be selling barbecue hot dogs on the streets. I'm telling you right now.
All right.
The elote man going to be out there.
Well, speaking of, you know, being stuck at home, we got some more entertainment stuff that relates here to COVID, and since that Forbes magazine reported that like the internet usage as a whole has gone up 70%. Streaming services are up significantly. And I think that's a natural, everybody assumed it was going up, but by how much? Well, by Forbes reporting, they're saying in the last week, it's gone up 70% compared to what is normal internet usage. And as a response to that, there's a lot of pressure on Netflix and everybody else to reduce their quality in order just to save the internet.
I'm blaming Pornhub's free premium. Like that's 30.
That didn't help. That didn't help.
That's definitely 35% of that, I promise you.
I still don't know how many people are signing up for that. Just because you still then, you still got to give them your email address. You got to create an account.
You got plenty of time to create a new Gmail.
You got to get a burner Pornhub Gmail.
All I know is everybody I see on social media is dropping the heroes and capes memes. They're loving that.
But
with all the internet usage, man, they have to throttle back a lot of these sites. YouTube is reducing to standard vision. The PSN network is dropping its speeds. We've already had some Xbox crashing. Like it's getting intense, man. We're clogging the pipes.
Yeah, and you see kind of both sides of this, right? Like you said, YouTube reducing down to standard definition you've got these companies that are trying to drop their overall streaming speeds to reduce bandwidth. And then even Disney Plus reduced their streaming quality in certain countries. But at the same time, they also then increased or sped up their rollout of Disney Plus to a bunch of places across the world.
Our brother in Germany just got it.
Yeah, we reduced our speed, but at the same point in time, we just made it available to millions more people. So that has a negative effect, I'm sure, there, Disney, but you go get those subscription numbers up. That's fine.
Yeah, we're really testing the net neutrality theory and our capacity right now. I think there are a lot of countries out there kind of laughing because, I mean, everyone thinks that everyone assumes America's the best at everything. And actually, we have third world internet speeds. seriously, especially, we live in major urban areas. So ours is good, especially if you want to pay the exorbitant amount of money for gig speed or fiber. But there are places in rural America that are fucking dying right now, just dying with the lack of internet. So I think this is really highlighting that issue too. And not a lot of people talking about it. COVID takes the air out of the room, but we should look at this as an opportunity to look at some of our systems and infrastructures and use this as a stress test. This is a major stress test for our internet.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely approaches towards enhancing internet, and maybe this is more of a sell as we go into kind of the tech space later in the episode towards 5G and everything else to up our overall infrastructure on how do we increase speeds and increase.
I want fiber. Access. I want fiber. Send my data.
I still say no.
Send my data with light happening. Signals. I don't
never happening. That's just not going to happen. But I think some of these other plans out there between 5G and satellite internet and stuff like that is where we're going to see this increased speed and access to everybody. But in the end, I mean, we see, I haven't started my CBS All Access account, but we got that Picard show, which is one that I've always wanted to watch, available now for free if you want to go see it.
They finally hit your price point. They
did.
They
came, that's it.
They literally were just like, "Hey, I think that dude at the Nerd Cantina is really onto something. We should give it to him for free."
I'm definitely not going to pay separately for it. But the more time you spend at home, I still haven't started increasing how much I watch shows at home. But Picard's one that I would want to watch. Same thing with Apple Plus keeps looking like they're coming out with more and more good content, shows and things that I start to
see
going in that
direction.
I've only
watched two shows on that whole streaming service.
Yeah.
I could only get into two so far. I know a few people who finished C and were like, man, that show was actually pretty good. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck were you watching, man? It was kind of out there. I mean, these blind people just be having battles and shit. It wasn't you're so desperate for entertainment right now that you could just shut off that part of your brain that is just like, none of this makes sense.
Well, I sent you that screenshot from somebody on Twitter who said that that C show had Rotten Tomatoes score of 86% audience score. It's 86% of the people who watched it thought it was good. This is where I tend to think, there's some bias in there in the sense that if you were foolish enough to start watching that show in the first place, you had low standards anyway. So of course you're going to give it a high rating.
Yeah. Well, after watching the entire Tiger King series, I have now lowered the bar for the average intelligence of the Americans.
I feel like I have to watch that damn show.
You do. Because
I can't get away from the fucking memes and everybody just talking about this stupid show. I've never. I
the whole
knew
time,
nothing
the whole
about
time
it.
I'm watching it. not just like the people involved in the show, but like the people that actually go to these cat parks and listen to them talk and everything. Like the entire time I'm watching it, the only thing that kept going through my head is these fucking people vote. These people vote. Everyone's afraid of getting mauled by a tiger. I'm afraid of these people walking in a voting booth. Like these people fucking vote, man. Like shit's scary.
I might have to watch it. There's so many better things that have been made that people have put time and effort into creating shows out
better,
there.
Better's a subjective word. Like better in some aspects, but you're not going to get a more entertaining docuseries.
Really?
Like,
all right. For anybody else who's on the fence with watching this stupid Tiger King, all right, maybe Steve sold us. I don't know. I probably will watch it just because sometimes you just don't like being left out. The meme game is so strong on Tiger. 90% of all memes yesterday.
I don't understand how you see a picture of these King. Dudes and you're not just like, all right, I'm gonna hit play. Especially if you've seen somebody share one of his country music videos. Like, man, hit play. Like, continue watching.
Oh no, I haven't seen those yet.
That's what I'm saying. It's so absurd. It's so absurd. And this is real life. Like you can't. That's one of the things. I'm a reality TV whore, and everyone asks why, and it's just because like you seek out like shows that are out there and get your brain wandering and like are crazy. You know, there's nothing crazier than real life. Like I've now determined that you can write the most absurd Rick and Morty episode, and there is going to be a reality show that trumps that absurdity just based on actual fucking people doing actual shit. Like it's insane.
I guess I'll watch it. I normally stay far away from these things, but I think this one's gonna have to get me. All right, let's get through our last
nefarious
little
people. We have a lot of hacking stories, like with people being locked in the house and social distancing. The hackers now have, you know, a lot more free time. I guess they only took breaks from hacking from, you know, grocery runs and maybe seeing an occasional movie and going to restaurants. And now that all that shit's closed, they are just full time trying to break into people's shit.
Yeah, so you know, in our kind of tie-in, half entertainment, half hacking tech or whatever else. First one really was that the Xbox Series X. So AMD's graphics card or source code was reportedly stolen. It was originally put up in like portions of their source code. It was put up on GitHub, and then what makes people believe that it's legitimately like their source code is that AMD had to file a cease and desist letter with GitHub to have it taken down, and then they've reported that somebody is asking for $100 million ransom to not release the entire source code for the Xbox Series X source code for their entire graphics card. So I don't know who would pay that, whether that would be Microsoft, AMD, or nobody pays it. And supposedly AMD is saying that source code is not necessarily like a critical piece of what Series X is.
Isn't that what you would
about.
Say, though? Like, isn't yeah. that what you'd say? Like
you're in the background negotiating down to 70 million.
Yeah, you kidnap my kid and hold him for hostage. Well, that's not the good one. you took the problem kid. You don't worry about him. Meanwhile, you're stuffing cash in a bag.
Yeah, so curious on that one as that we you know a little bit of corporate ransom here.
It's kind of crazy though that they were able to get something like so coveted by these developers, you know, like your source code, that's like your original blueprint, you know. And I think it said in the article what they got it from, a stolen laptop or a hacked laptop.
It was from an actual hacked individual, like user's laptop.
Yeah, well, I mean, but really, how many people out there would actually buy the source code for it? You know, like Sony's already got their own shit. Like, are the execs at Stadia right now like, give us the fucking thing. We need it. Like, who would buy this? Who would buy this?
Yeah, I don't know who would buy it. It might just be a matter of if they don't get the company to buy it back, then they just release it for free on GitHub and everywhere else, and just let the world have it, which is what they threatened to do.
Yeah, then it's like open source.
Which is what they've threatened to do. So that I don't think anybody else buys it. It's just a matter of.
And then what the execs at Atari are like, we're back in it, boys. Like, I don't see that. Like, I don't see that happening. Like, I don't know who benefits from the, you know, the Series X source code being leaked in open source. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's other chipset manufacturers and stuff, even down to Intel and, you know, other processing chips exist out there that might be able to benefit from whatever AMD is doing in the background, and why AMD has won the contracts for both Xbox and PlayStation in their 12 and 10 teraflop systems of these crazy computing power systems. There's got to be a reason why they're winning these contracts and why they're able to produce such performance. Somebody might want it.
Yeah, I guess. 100 million. That somebody thinks that somebody wants it bad, I guess.
But, we can move into, I guess we'll just stick on the hacking thing and just get through the many topics around that. And another one, talking about with Engadget puts out that like Chinese digital spying is becoming more and more aggressive as they've seen. What we see during this COVID timeframe is there's always some level of Chinese digital spying, corporate espionage that exists, and we've talked about it a lot throughout the shows. Specifically, it's normally very targeted, targeted to specific companies that they're gathering data on and trying to target. And what they've seen is that they've become way more aggressive, and it's really just kind of a blanket approach, just trying to gather information on just about every company out there.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, so normally hackers are just like fishermen, and they put on a specific lure trying to get that specific fish out of the pond. Well, with this COVID, we just stocked the lake. You know what I mean? Like, we just dumped all kinds of fish. Now it's time to just throw a stick of dynamite into the lake and see what floats to the top, man. Like, that's basically what's going on here. Is they're usually specific so that you reap more rewards from your endeavors. Now there's just so many people online, so many people stuck at home, so many people just in this kind of fear state to where your judgments might be a little off. So what would normally raise red flags aren't raising the same red flags for you. So that, yeah, it's time to just put a net out there and see what you get back. And that's what these hackers are doing.
Yeah, so it's definitely something to be concerned about, especially, you know, as we talk about everybody working from home, Zooming, whatever else. So a lot of these companies that, you know, they're being tested in the sense that they maybe had really strong security because they had a very closed network, and now they're allowing people to work from home. People have to think through how you still maintain a certain level of security as you allow teleworking, as you allow people to take their projects home, take things, take files that maybe you wouldn't normally allow to be removed. There's definitely some challenges, and there's already been an increase in kind of these aggressive approaches towards finding those exploits.
It's a big carpe diem moment for hackers right now.
Yeah, but the same type of hackers that are going for corporate espionage apparently just want to see the world burn. As there's also been more than doubling attempts of trying to hack the World Health Organization, one of the critical organizations towards getting out information and actually explaining science, not just, you know, CDC here, but throughout the world, and tracking these statistics and everything else. And then we see more than a double in hacking attempts against the World Health Organization.
Well, I mean, there's so many people going to that website now looking for information that if you can put in a link to some spyware or malware inside their website somewhere, you'll get a lot more fishes. Again, I think it's just a numbers game. So they know that X amount of million people are going to the WHO website every day. If we could just change this backlink to one of our, you know, links, we can get hundreds of thousands of people to come to this site. And it's just so fucked up, man. Like, humans are savages, man. We are just a savage species, you know. For the most part, you know, the average human is pretty decent, I would hope, but there are just a handful of us that are just pieces of shit that will take every opportunity in moments like this to just double down on some fucking evil shit.
Yeah, and this, I mean, like you said, anywhere you see traffic, anywhere you see a potential exploit, there's always going to be somebody who's willing to take advantage of it. And that's what you're seeing here. And it's definitely not more than one person who's trying to take advantage of it, as they've seen, you know, a significant rise in cyber attacks during this time frame. But maybe a good news story, I don't know, the next hacking story that we look at is Google has confirmed in this last week that 40,000 nation state cyber attack warnings have been issued by Google's division that tracks these things. And you may think 40,000 nation states, so this is government sponsored hacking or cyber attacks taking place, that is dire. That is a lot. Truth is, that's actually down. That's down a pretty good amount from 2018 stats. So we're actually improving from Google's threat analysis group is stating that 40,000. It sounds like a lot, but it's that's 40,000 across 2019, and that's less than what was in 2018.
And at least we're catching them, right? Like it's you know what scares you? Well, like you got to think, are we just catching more, like, so that they're not attempting as many? Or, you know, so say we had like 60,000. What did you say we had in 2018?
I don't remember the number. Might have been buried in that article somewhere.
So say we had 60,000 in 2018. We got 40,000 in 2019. Did that just mean 20,000 of them got better?
Didn't get caught?
I don't know how to read this information right now. You know, like... Are bad people just trying less, or are bad people just getting really good at what they're doing now and we're not catching as many?
I imagine it's possible. Probably not. They're probably still getting caught or identified. It's just a matter of do they get caught before they gain the information. I'd like to know how many of these 40,000 you think Google caught are from the U.S.? I mean, there's definitely some nation state hacking that originates from the U.S.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, that's going to be the major players, right? You're going to have China, Russia, the United States, Israel, Korea's, like those were everybody's. They're just going to be, it's.
Or yeah. Is Google only looking at external threats to the U.S.?
I feel like I'm in that Spider-Man meme right now where everyone's just pointing at each other. Like, it was him. It was him. Like, no, it's all you motherfuckers. It's all you.
But
it's.
I think.
I don't know, man. It's. The fact that governments are, you know, you expect malicious profiteering humans to be like this, but the fact that big governments with unlimited resources and all kinds of crazy motives are doing this on such a large scale also, it's kind of scary, man.
Yeah. I mean, it is, and you know, we talk a lot about, you know, these different hacking attempts, whether it was, you know, Russia, China, or whatever else is going on. To hear that there's 40,000, to put a number to it, and you know, we know that there's millions of hacking attempts on the consumer side, on the corporate side, but even 40,000 that have been definitively linked back to a government to serve some level of government espionage type purpose. That's still a lot. That's probably more than I would attribute to. But it just shows really where the priorities are in these nations that, you know, while it sounds like a lot, we don't necessarily want to glorify it. At the same point, I know the U.S. is doing it and I'm good with it. You know what I mean? Like we do want our own cyber capability within our own country, capable of gaining information, well, understanding.
I mean, you're assuming that the U.S. is doing that in an outward capacity. Also, God only knows how much of the U.S. hacking is geared internally towards our own fucking citizens. Let's not act like we are like always the good guys in this scenario.
No, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm talking one of these nation state capabilities. Like, we don't want to not hack into other systems, like we want to know what's going on in the Chinese military.
Oh, this is for
sure. We want to know what's going on in the Russian military and what their plans are. Like, you know, so we want our own capabilities, these nation states hacking each other. to gain information. So it's definitely something that internally we want to see happening. We don't want to hear about other countries doing it to us, but it's definitely something we benefit from. So I don't know, double-edged sword there, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's it for our hacking segment. Like, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of...
roll through some updates in the hacker world.
A lot of coding.
All just to say that, yeah, there is no hacking chill during a pandemic.
No, none. Virus is everywhere. Virus.
Oh, all right, and yeah. Then I guess the last couple stories, we got a little bit of space news here. First one for space news is, you know, we get the very first ever launch of a Space Force. Space Force has now made it to space for the first time, as they had launched this week their first actual successful mission, where you get to see an actual Space Force logo on a rocket launched up into space, and it's a ultra high frequency communication satellites is what they launched this week.
Makes me wonder if, like, back in the day when the Navy launched their first boat, if anybody cared. Like, Navy launches first boat into water, and it's like, well, yeah, it's your job, guys. Like, get more boats. Like, SpaceX.
Oh, they still cared. There were still big ceremonies around it. People were having a good time.
SpaceX launches spaceship. Well, yeah, guys. Like, yeah, that's what you do. Like, get on number two. Like, let's go.
I still think it's cool to see the Star Trek logo up on a on the side of a rocket and blasting off into space. It's still an accomplishment.
Yeah, and like just let me know when I could buy a Space Force bomber jacket. That's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah, I probably will buy a Space Force branded hat or shirt somewhere along the way.
It's gonna, man, we're gonna be old men one day, and there's gonna be like those old vets, you know, just parked outside of NASA sitting in the wheelchair with like the Space Force trucker hat with the actual medals pinned on it, and you know, like the kids all shake your hand, thank you for your service, sir. Like, it's gonna be insane that we just created a whole nother military division, and the next generation is just gonna grow up with it like it was just always there, but people like us can be like, yeah, nah. this was a new thing.
Either that or Space Force will just fall more in the realm of like the Coast Guard. Yeah, it's a military service. But I've never seen somebody walking around with a Coast Guard with a coasty hat.
Members of the Coast Guard, send your hate mail to ken@thenerdcantina.com.
But if you're going to do it, you better send a picture of you wearing your Coast Guard hat with the medals on it.
Shitting on the coasties. What is their derogatory term? You know, so like every military's got their own like, fuck those guys. They're just, you know, the, you know, jarheads and the like. Yeah. You know, what do you call the Coast Guard people?
Oh, you just call it Coast Guard.
That's bad. That's just.
Ha! Got you again, coasties. Boo! 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 Boo!
I feel like the Navy's just like that meme with that puppet looking over to the side right now. Like, at least they ain't talking about me. They didn't say seaman. Oh, Jesus.
Right.
But yeah, we come from Space Force. We come from families with military members that have guns.
Space Force. Space members. They're working hard.
Has space members become official yet?
I don't think they've actually named their
like we gotta service people look yet. For a Space Force press conference where they refer to them and just find it, because once somebody with a star on his shoulder says it, that's it. It's locked down.
It might be. Next topic in space news is really just that the company OneWeb has filed for bankruptcy, and OneWeb was a competitor. We haven't talked very much about it. I think we mentioned it briefly, maybe even last week. They had just actually fired off their latest round of low Earth orbit satellites for their internet. They're supposed to be a competitor to Starlink. And they were considered one of probably the closest competitors to Starlink, in the sense that
if you ask Elon, according to that article.
I know. And that's really what's interesting is because, when you look at these low Earth orbit satellite plans, you've got Amazon who's got approval to start it, but they haven't actually started firing off satellites. You also have, I'm trying to remember, I can't remember, there's another company out there, and then OneWeb, that really is the only competitors that we're looking at. But OneWeb was the only one that actually had functioning satellites out in space currently, and they've been in talks to do this and have plans for this beyond where Starlink started. And OneWeb is now filed for bankruptcy as they lost their biggest investor, and SoftBank is no longer going to invest in it, which SoftBank's already invested $2 billion. OneWeb's trying to raise more money, as this stuff's not cheap in order to establish that satellite network that you would need to become profitable. Like, they have no choice but to continue raising money until they can start selling internet.
Well, and part of the crazy thing about this story is that they were able to raise more money, but the CEO was just like, yeah, nah, we'd rather file bankruptcy, which is, I'm not too versed in the economics. I don't know.
And this is one of those things, just because they filed for bankruptcy doesn't mean that they're dead. No. You know, it doesn't mean that the company is not going to still provide internet somewhere down the road.
You could do it seven times and still become president.
Fake news. What we see is that this article that'll be up on thenerdcantina.com /show72. What we see is that, like, Elon Musk and his representatives from Starlink are flat out saying, like, there is no company even close to where Starlink is. Nobody is going to have even anywhere near the capability that they're going to have. It talks about how they are, per satellite launch, Starlink is 17 times greater than what a single satellite of OneWeb is doing, and they've got way more satellites out there than OneWeb.
Well, and they also said their only financial goal at this point right now is to just not go bankrupt.
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, we got all these aspirations for tech, but as far as making money, right now our goal is just to not be like that guy.
And then you get, like, the SpaceX representative that, like, is quoted saying that, if you're thinking about investing in OneWeb, I would recommend strongly against it. They fooled some people who are going to be pretty disappointed in the near term. Like, this is...
That's just like corporate shit talking. Like, it's
it
like,
is. Like,
drop your TED Talk mic and walk.
And I think this is the... You know, when you're dealing with anything this innovative in space, and part of the problem being that... Before you could ever get to, not even profitable, but before you could even ever get to a minimum viable, like, product to start selling to people, to actually start selling internet, it costs billions of dollars and hundreds of satellites that need to be in the sky. Like, if you're an investor, you've got to be in this for billions and for the long haul, which means you've got to put a lot of faith in these companies. And
puts a quantifiable number to how much money is in the world that you just can't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't understand how somebody would be like, yeah, I got $100 million for an idea, and I will probably just lose this $100 million, but it's all right, because if I do win on that $100 million, it will be in a number that is just unquantifiable. So, like, here, take $100 million that could solve world hunger in a bunch of small countries, build schools to educate the third world. Like there's so much $100 million could do, and they're just people out there throwing it in the air, hoping, like, not even knowing, just hoping it comes back to them. That shit's insane. That's insane. I'm trying to get a small business loan, and it's like pulling goddamn teeth. And there's only five numbers involved in that.
Well, I mean, we see with SoftBank, they were willing to throw in $2 billion in the first in what they've invested before.
That's ridiculous.
And then what's the telling sign is that after being $2 billion, they're even considering the fact that they're not pot committed at this point in time. They're willing to allow, because that's part of the thing, is that in order for OneWeb to go bankrupt, SoftBank has to allow it to happen. They have to say that we're not going to invest anymore. We're going, that's fine. You can go bankrupt. We're okay
we'll
with
just
losing
wipe
the $2
billion off the books.
And that's what they've done this week, is SoftBank has said, yep, we will allow you to file for bankruptcy because we're no longer investing in your next round of capital.
But what, so like, that's what I don't understand. Do they keep the shares that they have? So if like, if they end up getting this thing sure. up and running, like, so like, I just don't understand how like the whole numbers jargon of how this ends up working. Like, cause they have to see it as, all right, we'll let them just like wipe 2 billion off the books. They don't owe us the 2 billion anymore, but we keep the shares. And then hopefully in the long run, we're going to make 20 billion off of it anyways. So what do we care if they wipe this 2 billion away? Like, that's the only way I see it, how it could go down.
Yeah, I have no idea. And
you know, and then how do they do another round of investors? Because they need money to launch more satellites. So now they just say, well, look, our evaluation was too high. We wiped the books. We only need donations of X amount of dollars for this amount of shares so people get a better value. And then what? The bank's value, their shares are now deflated. So... It's like, this is what I mean. Just, fuck the stock market.
They're going to just get bought up by, which big player is not in satellite internet right now? They're going to get bought up by Facebook. You know, we know Amazon's got Kuiper, the Kuiper network, their satellite internet. SpaceX and Elon Musk has, you know, Starlink. I don't think Facebook's in the satellite internet game. They're just going to buy them up. They'll buy up those 74 satellites that are Google. Floating around right now. Google, yeah, one of the big four. We know Amazon's already in it. We know Tesla's already in it. Google, Facebook, sure, why not? $2 billion, that's an easy day for them.
Yeah, no shit. Ugh, so, man, these numbers just make my stomach churn. They make my stomach churn. Really does. You know, as we're all like, yeah, as we're dropping $2 trillion stimuluses on the country and people are just throwing billions at ideas and, you know, us little guys. You just wonder, like, how does this all work? How does this all work? I'm trying to scrounge up $1,000 to start a 401k since the market tanked. I have my opening round. Anybody wants to toss me some money? I have my opening round of investors.
All right. Look, if you came here looking for financial intelligence here, you came to the wrong podcast.
The wrong motherfucking podcast. There are plenty of podcasts that will tell you where you should be investing your money. Me, put in your fucking pillow. Buy gold bars and bury them in the backyard. Or right now, just invest in toilet paper. I'm buying Charmin stock like crazy. Oh, God.
All right. Well, crazy. I think that's a week in. That's a week in our crazy world here.
Yeah. Shit's all upside down, folks. We're just trying to jumble through it and do our best.
Yeah, we'll see where things continue to shape out as we continue to cap this out. As we're looking at probably another long month or two of little going on in the entertainment world, everything kind of shut down, and kind of these weird stories that are coming out of the current state of affairs in as you know, it's not just the U.S. but the developed world is at a standstill.
And if you're listening to the show, we do appreciate it because we know that podcasting numbers are down all over the world, seeing that people aren't driving to work. And that's where a majority of podcast listeners listen to the show. So if you're actually in your kitchen right now or in your office listening to the show, we do want to give you an extra thanks for keeping up with us during these extra weird times.
Yeah, for sure. And again, thanks for being a part of our first year of the podcast, whether this was episode number one for you or 72. Either way, we appreciate you being a part of this first year-long experiment into the Nerd Cantina.
And with that said, I think we'll see you next week, folks.
All right. Talk to you later, nerds.